There's a lot going on around Central for the family. There's the family conference, and if you really want to go, I suggest you get signed up right away because that usually sells out. Then in November 8 and 9, we're having a family life seminar here at Central with Chuck Nieder and his wife, and they are an outstanding couple. And let me suggest that you pick up one of these brochures and put that on your agenda for November. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, to chapter 4. We're going to begin reading at verse 22. The bulletin says 25, but we're going to begin at 22 and read to the end of the chapter, verse 32. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule, the only unfailing rule for faith and practice, that is, what to believe and how to live. Therefore, if you want to know what God wants you to believe and what He's revealed to you, go to the Bible. If you want to know what kind of life He wants you to live, go to the Bible. And there He tells you. Therefore, we are dependent upon Scripture. Listen, hear what God says to us through St. Paul in this portion of God's holy word. Now he's talking to Christians. He says, put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lust. I think he's been reading my diary. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lust. You see, when you become a Christian, you're different from the rest of the world. And in the next verse, he's going to tell us what those differences are. We can't be as the world is. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, now whenever St. Paul says, therefore, get ready for it because he's going to lay it on you. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, you see, becoming a Christian, putting off this old nature, putting on the new nature, means a new relationship with other people. And so we speak the truth with our neighbors because, he says, it makes us members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. You may have a right to get angry about something, but don't let that anger lead you to do something wrong, something sinful. And he says, do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, have you ever gone to bed angry? And you know, as you lie there thinking about all the things you wish you'd said or the things you're going to do to get even, the devil just opens a door to your heart and walks right in and takes possession. Let the thief no longer steal. And you say, wait a minute, there's one place I'm not guilty, I'm not a thief. Well, maybe you are. Do you steal time from God? Do you give Him a tenth of your time? Do you steal money from God? Is He getting your tithe? Do you steal from your wife by taking from her time that should belong to her? Are you stealing from your family by not giving them things that are rightfully theirs, a part of you? You see, we may be thieves. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you know, when we put off the old nature and we put on the new nature, it's too big for us. It doesn't fit. It'll just fall right off of us. Unless God gets in it with us, then it fits perfectly. And the Bible says that God gives us His Holy Spirit. And so we have, as people with new natures, the Holy Spirit to help us. And you can do some things to God that God doesn't want done to himself. You can cause him grief and pain and sadness. Do not grieve, he says, the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, here's what it means to put off the old nature. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. You see, God in this new relationship that he's talking about, where we're neighbors with one another, in this new relationship, God wants us to build bridges to each other. Communication. Going back and forth in our relationship to one another. He doesn't want us to burn those bridges. He wants us to build them. But if you leave the old nature on, you burn those bridges. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, these are bridge burners, be put away from you with malice. Now, here's how you build bridges in human relationships. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. And what's our example? As God in Christ forgave you. Now, our meditation is entitled, Burning Our Bridges in Front of Us. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. May God bless to us this reading from His Holy Word, and to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, as we think about our relationships to each other, especially in the family, husband and wife, parents and children, as we think about our relationship to our friends and our colleagues, I pray that you'll speak to us and give us insights in a really special way that will help us put off the old nature and put on the new. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I got out of the service after World War II, and went back to college, I entered business school because I intended to be an attorney. But during that first year back in school, God moved in a powerful way in my life and on my heart. And I came to that point where I knelt by my bed one evening and gave my life to Him. And He told me that He wanted me for the ministry. I then changed my major from business to philosophy, with minors in sociology and English. When I began my course in philosophy, one of the first courses I took was entitled The Great Religions of the World. And that course did a lot to damage my relationship to the Lord. I suspect that a lot of you went to college and took a similar course on the great religions of the world. And some professor began to say to you, well, all of the religions of the world are basically similar. Because in the front of my book was a list of the so-called golden rules found in every religion. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. And that is in the religions of every great religion in the world. So said my professor. All of the religions are basically the same. Now, I knew he was wrong, but I didn't know where he was wrong. It was not until some years later that I realized what his error was. His error was this. He did not understand that Christianity was not basically an ethical system. You see, in Jesus, God didn't give us a moral code. We already had better ethics and more morals than we could follow. What Christianity is uniquely is a person. God didn't send a new ethical system. He sent a person, His own Son, Jesus Christ, to say to us, I love you, I care about you, I want to forgive you. And if you will accept what my Son has done on the cross in your behalf, you are forgiven. Our relationship is healed. That's what Christianity is all about. Now, it's true it does have a moral system and an ethical code. As a matter of fact, it has the highest ethical standard of any system in the world. But its focus is a person, Jesus Christ. Now, having accepted Him as our Savior, we then have a desire in our hearts to be the people God calls us to be obedient to His ethical system. But we've got a problem. We can't do it. This forgiveness dress that God puts on us and calls us to wear is too big for us unless God gets in it with us. And that's exactly what He does. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God enters into our hearts and helps us to become what He wants us to be. And that's the only way I can ever follow the ethical system of the Christian. Isn't that true in your case? Have you not tried on your own to be good and failed? Most of us have. And we've discovered that in order to be obedient to God, we've got to have His power helping us and inspiring us. So we put off the old and we put on the new. Now, when we take off the old, we should take off some of these old patterns of the world that we were following. Here's one of the patterns. St. Paul says, let all bitterness be put away. Is there any bitterness in your life? Has somebody done something to you in times past that you still remember and you're bitter about? Has your wife, your husband, a child done something that you still grieve over and are bitter about? I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she was telling me that over 30 years ago, something had happened in the life of her grandmother. And today, she is an embittered person over what happened so many years ago. And that bitterness has simply poisoned her soul and her life. Do you have any bitterness this morning? If you do, let me suggest that you put it off. By the power of the Holy Spirit, give that bitterness to God. Let all bitterness and wrath be put away. Wrath. Now, wrath means being outraged about something. I got outraged a couple of Saturdays ago. I went to the presbytery of the PCUSA here in the St. Louis area, the Giddings Lovejoy, of which we are still a part until we are released from it. And I was outraged by what happened because they discussed the whole day Central America. And they were against El Salvador, which our country is supporting and encouraging Duarte. We are opposed to the communist guerrillas who are trying to subvert that government. And yet those communist guerrillas are fleeing for their lives to this country, and here is the church saying, we will put you in the sanctuary underground movement and we will hide you and take care of you. And my government says that's wrong. And they were making speeches supporting the Sandinista and Nicaragua, and I was outraged. But that was my old nature. Now, as I've told you about it, you're probably getting a little angry too, huh? But that's wrong. Because those people, in spite of the fact that they may do something I can't agree with, are also children of God. And when I have wrath, I burn the bridge between us. If I've got bitterness, I burn that bridge between the person with whom I have the bitterness. If I have wrath, I burn bridges, and it destroys the oneness of the family of God. Now, sometimes we get wrathful with our spouse because of something he or she does. We're outraged by it. But that burns bridges. So, St. Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath, and then he says, anger be put away. Anger. Now, anger is different from wrath. Anger is when something has been done to me personally, when my ego has been threatened, when I have been wrongfully treated or wrongfully abused. Then I am angry. Now, it may be okay to get angry. St. Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. And that's pretty hard to do. Because usually when I get angry, I'm thinking about how I can get even. Don't you do that? And then he says, don't go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And that's because if I go to bed angry, I lie there and I grind my teeth and I can't sleep and my blood pressure goes up and I'm thinking about all I wish I had said or done and all I'm going to do or say, and the devil has got a hold of my heart because I've opened the door and let him in. I've given opportunity to him. Don't you do that too? And the reason I know so well what happens to you is because this is what happens to me. But put off the old nature. Put on the new nature, and by the power of the Spirit, don't go to sleep with anger. Let the Holy Spirit empower you to overcome it. And I suggest to you, family members, don't go to bed angry with each other. If you have to stay up all night, work out that anger. Don't be hostile. Don't give opportunity to the devil to destroy your family and your relationship. And then he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger... Then he says, and clamor and slander be put away. And I'm going to take clamor and slander together because they're two sides of the same coin. Clamor has to do with my need for attention. If I feel inadequate or insecure or have some dreadful needs, then I'm going to raise a clamor to get you to pay attention to me. Now, we see this, for example, when a new baby is brought home and a little child, 3 or 4 years old, begins to get into mischief. He begins to get into trouble because he's saying, in effect, I've been displaced. Now, pay some attention to me, please. Clamor. And if I'm clamoring for attention, you are giving attention to someone else, then I begin to abuse and slander that person to cut him down to pygmy size. Because if I'm just morally 4 feet tall, if I can make you a pygmy, I look like a giant. So I begin to slander. Now, I want to confess that when I was a young pastor, and I guess I had a lot of needs, and maybe still do, but if anybody bragged on a fellow minister, I would say, yes, but. I was actually slandering that person in a nice way, but I was really cutting him down because I was insecure and had needs. Clamor, slander, two sides of the same coin. Are you guilty of that? With colleagues, with family members, with people you're close to? Now, St. Paul goes on to add, and to put away these things with all malice. Put malice away. You know, there are a lot of mean-spirited people in the world. And you and I think we're not mean-spirited, but sometimes we can be very mean-spirited. Are you sometimes mean-spirited to your children? Maybe you come home and you've had a hard day at the office and things haven't gone well. Your secretary quit, your boss chewed you out, you know, whatever. And you go home and you displace that frustration and anger onto your children. I'm guilty of that. But that's the old nature working. And St. Paul says, put away all malice. Just do away with it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Put it away. That's the old nature. Be done with malice. Are you malicious in the way you talk about people? Slander, clamor. Are you malicious in that? Now, that's burning bridges. You see, there are relationships that we should have in the family of God. If we're doing these things, we're burning those bridges and we can't cross over to each other. And many families end up in the divorce court because they've burned all their bridges in their relationships. But a Christian family is one where each of us has put on the new nature. The new nature. And we've got the power of the Spirit working within us to help us build bridges to one another. And what are those bridges? St. Paul, first of all, says, be kind. Kindness means to treat each other as persons of worth. Do you treat your husband as a person of worth? Do you treat your wife, your children, as people of worth? Now, you've heard me say many times, and it's true, that a person will treat the girl at the checkout counter with more courtesy, more sense of worth than he will his children or his wife. that's contrary to what God wants of us. And I think a lot of marriages break up because couples just aren't acting kindly towards one another. To do the little acts of kindness and of love. A spouse gets so focused in on his or her needs that he or she simply doesn't take time to be kind to the mate or care about that person's needs. For example, young people. You young people. You know, you're growing up, and it's hard to grow up. You're concerned about what your peer group thinks of you and how they dress, and you want to dress that way, and so on. And you're in a time of anxiety, and honestly, I wouldn't be 16 or 18 again for any amount of money. That's hard to grow up. But you come home and you displace all your frustrations and you treat your parents badly, unkindly. You see, and that's not being a Christian. Put off that old nature. Put on the new nature. Wives are unkind to husbands because they fail to be sensitive to their husband's needs and the struggles and the threats they have in their lives. And by the same token, husbands are often unkind to their wives and not attuned to the kind of special frustrations that they have or the kinds of burdens that are theirs. And a family needs to have the spiritual gift of kindness. You go home and you put on that new nature. Let the Spirit control you and you be kind to one another. And a second bridge builder, St. Paul mentions, is tenderheartedness. Now, kindness has to do with how you treat a person. Being tender-hearted means being sensitive to how somebody else feels. How does your wife feel when you make fun of her in public? Do you ever try to get her to amend her ways by criticizing her in public to punish her so she'll be so embarrassed she'll go home and clean the house or whatever you want her to do? You ever do that? Of course you do. Now, how does your husband feel when you criticize him in front of your friends? How do the children respond when you get laughter at their expense? How does your wife feel when she works hard to prepare a really nice dinner and you sit down and you wolf the food down in 5 minutes and you don't even say it was a good dinner? How does your husband feel when he brings home his paycheck and all you do is complain because there isn't enough money? How do you think he feels? How do your parents feel when you do poorly in school or when you do something that breaks their confidence in you? Now, being tender-hearted means being sensitive to the feelings of others. And when you're tender-hearted, you build a bridge that opens traffic between you and another, communication. And then thirdly, St. Paul says to be forgiving. Forgiving means forgetting. If somebody tells you, "I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it," you forget it because they haven't forgiven you. When I was a young pastor, I did something that displeased one of my elders, and I didn't feel guilty, but then I did. I went to him. I said, "Listen, if what I did was wrong, I apologize, and I ask you to forgive me." And he said to me, I'll never forget this. I was a young pastor, and it wounded me. He said, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it." Now, do you think he really forgave me? You see, no human relationship is going to work without forgiveness. And in your home, in your husband-wife relationship, in your parent-children relationship, they just aren't going to work without a lot of forgiveness. Maybe that's why St. Paul put it last, to emphasize it. He says to forgive, and he gives us an example, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that's hard, isn't it? Somebody said, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And that's true. Forgiveness is divine. And if I don't have the divinity of God, the Spirit within me, helping me and empowering me, I can't forgive. I can err without God, but I can't forgive without Him. Only when you let God's Spirit control your life will you have that spiritual capacity to forgive. Well, now that's how to quit burning the bridges between you and others and begin to build some bridges. If you have Jesus as your Savior, you're going to want to live like God wants you to live. And God will put His Spirit in you to empower you, to give you the ability to live for Him. And that means we get rid of, we put off those old bridge burners. We put them away. We let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away with all malice. And we begin to build bridges. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And I think the question that each of us ought to ask ourselves this morning is this. What about my bridges between me and others? Have I got them on fire? Or am I building them? Now, I don't know in your life, but you do. Let us pray.